May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 170. What a doleful voice I hear, what a garden scene is there, what a frightful, ghastly flood, Jesus weltering in his blood. Hymn 170.
Thank you. me together from the Word of God, prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 43. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned. Thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon him at the throne of grace. O Lord, our God, do look down upon us in thy rich mercy at this time. Oh, it is that time and season, Lord, that we might turn aside from all things else beside, from those things that we've been engaged in upon this day, the lawful and the necessary things that we should do here below. But, O Lord, we do pray that through thy Spirit thou wilt appear unto us, that these things indeed may be put far from us for a little time and season, and that we might be helped by and through thy Spirit and with grace in our hearts to seek thy face, to be found at thy feet. And oh, we do pray, oh, that we may come, that it may be a real and a true and worthy sacrifice of worship, praise, and blessing to thy name, and that we may come forth, Lord, oh, seeking, Lord, thy gracious help, thy Spirit and power to come upon us, to bring us humbly to thy feet, to prepare us for thyself, to hear thy word and thy sayings, what thou wilt speak unto our poor souls in and through the ministry and the preaching of the gospel. Oh, do bring us to that blessed place with hearing ears and understanding hearts, that we might partake of thee and of thy gospel grace. And oh, Lord Jesus, how great and precious indeed those things in that first hymn that we sang together. Oh, may we each come into the blessedness of thy sufferings and thy death. It was the desire of thy servant Paul that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, do, Lord, bring us each to that blessed place, to view thee by our faith in our that thou wast in our room and in our stead, and oh, that thou didst suffer, yea, for sinners. Thou didst suffer the just for the unjust. Thou didst, Lord, through thy rich mercy, lay down thy life for thy people. And oh, we do pray that we may have a continued interest in the mercy that we found, that mercy that flowed through thy precious blood, that mercy that flowed through thy precious blood that healed us and cleansed us and restored us, to make us whole and complete, and through thy perfect obedience to stand before thee perfect and upright in that robe of righteousness which thou hast wrought for each and every one of thy dear people. O Lord, bring us again into the glorious truths of redeeming love and blood, and help us, Lord, to speak well of thee and those things that thou hast done and wrought for us, even while, Lord, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Thou didst lay down thy life for us, the wonderment of thy grace to sinners. But oh, we do pray, Lord, oh, that each and every one here may know the blessedness and that truth indeed in their own souls, oh, to declare that he came and died for me. O Lord, thou knowest how that we pray, and most earnestly the throne of grace, or that thou mercy may come to each and every one before whom we preach, and that it may be indeed a little assembly that shall be enabled to joy and rejoice in thy salvation. So, Lord, we do pray, or that that might be the blessing, and do incline each heart unto thee, that they might each know and feel their need of thee, a Saviour and a Redeemer, that thou wilt work truly in the heart of sinners, in thy almighty power to change them and to renew them, and oh, to bring them, Lord, into the blessedness of thy great salvation. So, Lord, do come amongst us, Lord. Reveal and make known thy presence amongst us. May we feel it, Lord, in our hearts, and that thou hast promised to be with the twos and the threes. So do draw near, Lord. Thou art faithful and true in all thy promises, for all the promises of God are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. And so, Lord, we pray for thy presence, that this gathering indeed may be complete, and that each heart through thy Spirit may be drawn up unto thee in faith and in love. And oh, we do pray, Lord, in adoration and praise and blessing to thy name. 'Tis a great mercy, Lord, to be enabled to turn away from this world and to seek those things that are above and where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, to set our affection on things that are above and not on the earth. So, Lord, we thank thee, oh, for that blessing to attend upon thy word and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank thee, Lord, for our gathering together. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing us each to another day in our pilgrimage journey, Thou knowest how that we often pray and thank thee, Lord, for every day that thou dost bring us unto. And thou knowest that in our inmost hearts, Lord, that we seek that it may be a day where we shall live to thy glory, where we shall live upon thee by a true and a living faith. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, may that be the blessing, to live upon thee each and every day, but to thank thee, Lord, for bringing us to each day. And thou knowest the number of our days upon the earth, Lord, they are all with thee. But, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt also teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We cannot think of another day. If we plan or if we arrange, we have to say, if it be thy gracious will. We do not know what a day may bring forth. But oh, that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to give to us wisdom, that we might know and understand our frailty and the shortness and the brevity of our lives here below, that it is but as a vapour, and that soon vanisheth away. Oh, but how stands the case, my soul, with thee, in respect of these solemn truths? We cannot say that we will come to another day. Oh, that, Lord, that thou wouldest put that deep need into our poor souls for thyself, and that we might know, Lord, what it is to be one with thee, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that mercy through the blessedness of thy dearly beloved Son, that by and through him we might have life and have it more abundantly, and that life spiritual and eternal, blessed to our souls, that our journeying, Lord, shall never be empty, never be in vain, but that there is a hope before us, some consolation to our poor souls. And we do believe that in the last moments of that dear man's life upon the cross beside thee, brought and made sensible of his sins, as it were, in the 11th hour, and yet that mercy, oh, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, to live each day and to have some hope, Lord, of that blessing and that truth, that thou didst pray unto thy heavenly Father, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Oh, do help us to live by faith upon thee. Oh, that thou wouldest be the altogether lovely one to our poor souls, our all and in all, in a precious gospel, a precious Christ, and all the blessedness of thy redeeming love and blood, to bring us, Lord, to know and to realize again, as thy servant Abraham, that not only did he behold the land of Canaan naturally, but he was able also by his faith to behold spiritually that Canaan of heaven, that blessed foundation, that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So teach us and apply our hearts unto wisdom, Lord. And we thank thee, Lord, for all thy care, thy watchfulness over us thus far this day. Thou hast given the measure of renewed health and strength to continue, Lord, all from thy gracious hand, Lord. And we do pray that we might be enabled in that humble way and manner, give glory to thee. For all thy dealings with us, Lord, our dealings in love and mercy, that love which is everlasting, that love which continues to abound unto and towards thy people, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. But oh, as we are brought to consider the blessedness and the wonderment of that love, oh Lord, we have to confess to many failings and many shortcomings, or the waywardness of our hearts. We cannot keep thee in our hearts. Lord, thou knowest how that we continually confess and repent, Lord. Oh, that we are as lost sheep gone astray so often, Lord. Oh, but we do thank thee. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, as we are brought to know the truth of thy servant Paul, that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, or nothing, Lord, that thou canst look upon, nothing, Lord, that can commend us to thee, but sin, Lord, a sinful heart, a sinful nature. But oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that for all our sin, there is an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, we thank thee that that new man of grace doth cry out so often and bring us to hate ourselves and abhor ourselves and repent in dust and ashes and to flee to Christ, the only refuge in the gospel for poor needy sinners. But thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, how often we have come with a publican to the throne of grace. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went to his house justified. Oh, what mercy it is to know the blessing, that gospel peace and rest, where thou didst come, Lord, suffer, bleed and die for the sins and the iniquities of thy people. And oh, that fountain of thy blood still flows today, still healing, cleansing, restoring. And we thank thee, Lord, for the mercy. Oh, be with thy people here as they gather together week by week in thy name. Draw near to them and all their needs. Help them to continue, Lord, as a cause of truth in the gospel. And this time of season, Lord, seeking the ministry of the Lord's faithful servants. Oh, do help David indeed in seeking that gracious help, and that thou wouldest be pleased to send forth ministers to this house of prayer and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, be favourable unto them. And we do pray, Lord, in all the matters and the concerns of thy church here. Be that one present and in the midst of them, to lead them graciously forth in thy name. And do be that one, Lord, to show thyself in all thy honour and glory. So, Lord, we do pray for these things. Do be with us, Lord, now, and help thy servant to speak in thy name, thy word and thy truth. Do open up and enlarge thy word upon his spirit, and teach him what to say. And, Lord, lead and guide him into that right word and rightly dividing the word, that it may be understood, that it might be received through thy Spirit into the souls of thy people, to do them good, to build them up and to edify them, to strengthen them with all might by the Spirit in the inner man, and that they may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Be with both sower and reaper together, but let thy servant decrease and Christ increase through the pulpit, we pray thee, and do pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. We ask these mercies in and through the name and person, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In 534, mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God, justice satisfied indeed, Christ has full atonement made. In 534.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43, and reading together the first half of verse 10. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43, reading the first half of verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. In the setting of these words of our text, if you have any titles before the chapters in your Bibles, or generally it gives a little indication of what the chapter holds, and the blessing that is in the word is in this, and it is a most wonderful and glorious truth, and each of the Lord's dear people will know something of it, and that ye are witnesses of my omnipotence and my power. And that is why the blessing belongs to the church, that they will believe in God. Dear friends, the true and the living God, the only God, not all the idols which have eyes and cannot see, which have mouths that cannot speak, ears that cannot hear, the true and the living God, and his omnipotent power, and also his word in prophecy, is a very important truth in this chapter. That what he has spoken, and before time, dear friends, he will bring it to pass. It will be fulfilled. Not the idols of the land, dear friends, man-made idols. Many may make forecasts of one thing and another. Circumstances and events can change things so dramatically. But not here, dear friends. We have one who has left words of prophecy through his ministers and his prophets, through the Spirit, even in old time. And they came to pass, ultimately in the appointed time. And here is the omnipotency of our God. And just before we come more directly to the words of our text, he has spoken in prophecy of things yet to come to us, dear friends. Things yet to come to pass. And we want to be witnesses, dear friends, of his faithfulness, that he will fulfill. And remember that Jesus is coming again. It has been promised. He came the first time, all fulfilled, Scripture fulfilled, God's word fulfilled, but he's coming again, a second time. And the word says, be ye also ready. Will we be ready? Will we be waiting? Will we be prayerful? Will we be sober against that day? Because he is coming. And he says, in an hour that we know not. Will we be one of these witnesses, dear friends, in that day when he comes? Ye are my witnesses. When I was thinking of this word a little last evening and a little this morning, I thought what a wonderful mercy it would be if this whole congregation came under this blessing and this truth. Ye are my witnesses. Why, dear friends, it would be the most wonderment, one of the most gracious blessings, dear friends, in the whole of Swavesey here. If this were a chapel full of my witnesses. But then I thought of something else. It is a blessing to be a witness of God, a witness of his faithfulness, but a witness of his power. And this is what I want to speak of. But how solemn it is, dear friends, not to be a witness. Oh, I think that is in the words here. Not to be a witness. I cannot think, dear friends, of anything more solemn than not to be a witness of God. On the one, a witness and a true witness. Why? There's every joy and peace and happiness to those that are witnesses of God. They can never be in such a most blessed and a glorious place and position. Never. But not to be a witness. Dear friends, it will be in this. It will be a very mournful case, a very wretched case, to be left without being a witness of God. Ye are my witnesses. We want to be able to seek the Lord, that we may each be his witnesses. And this is the most important truth of our lives. There's nothing else more important than this. We may be about many things in our lives, many things to do, and which are proper for us to do, yes. But dear friends, this must be the ultimate blessing, our greatest need, to be a witness of God. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. If we think of this truth, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. It says, and my servant whom I have chosen. It means that he is a witness also. My servant whom I have chosen, he is my witness. That is what the words are saying here. And my witness whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. Isn't this the truth of these words as I see it, as I brought to contemplate it, and I seek earnestly that the Lord will teach me? Isn't it through this blessed and glorious here person that is shown to us, my servant whom I have chosen? Isn't that how we become witnesses of God? And isn't it how we become to believe in God? It is, dear friends. And if the Lord will show me, I would like to connect these three sentences together. Because then we will know God and we will believe God. What will we believe in him for? That it is in he and him alone where is our great salvation. And that is the truth. Believing what he has done and wrought for sinners in Jesus. Believe in me. Believe in God. I think it appropriate that we should begin with the middle sentence. And I believe that that will bring us into the truth of our first sentence and the latter sentence. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that ye may know and believe me. It is through my servant whom I have chosen. I have given him to be a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. I have given him to be a witness. A witness is one who has a testimony. Some blessed and glorious solid proof and evidence in the soul. That is the witness, a testimony. And Jesus, my servant whom I have chosen, I have given him for a witness to the people. As he says in Isaiah 55, for the people. Now we want to know something about this, dear friends, for our poor souls. For the people, not for any people. For God's people. I believe that probably sung a hymn together quite often. 983. Just read the first and the last verses. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Inspire the living faith which soe'er receives. The witness in himself he hath, and joyfully believes. May that be the portion of every one of us. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Now there's been, from the beginning of time, there have been those living witnesses that bore testimony to Christ. Christ is the faithful and the true witness, as John writes in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 5. The faithful and the true witness. Well, that faithful and true witness was shown when man fell into the awfulness and the ruin of sin. There was the witness. Ye are my witnesses of my servant whom I have chosen. It is Jesus. In chapter 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. His dearly beloved Son. And where we spoke or made mention of that text, I have given him for a witness to the people. Remembering this truth, everything was eternally fixed before time. It was in Isaiah 55, Christ had not yet come, but he was promised. And he was promised before time began, the eternal Son of God. And all covenant settlements were made in heaven before time began, that Christ should come and save his people from their sins. And it was before time that the church were given to Christ, and Christ undertook their whole cause and interest in eternal settlements. And God gave the witness when man fell, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And what was that blessing that was given to Abel? Why, it was this, wasn't it? He said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Oh, he had the testimony, dear friends. Looked by faith to the promise of that seed of the woman. He had the witness within him. Abel, ye are my witness, Abel. Oh, dear friends. He saw in Jesus his whole salvation. He was brought to know and to feel his sins. He had to make a sacrifice for them that typified Jesus, washing his sins away. That was his righteousness. Let us just see the witness of Jesus, the faithful and the true witness. Now, Jesus, I just thought one or two words that came into my mind in respect of this as I was thinking about it seemed to come into them fairly quickly. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul writes to Timothy, he said, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, Jesus witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And that witness and that confession was this, that he came and that he should raise up a kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world, he told him. No, it isn't of this world. But he is raising up his kingdom out of the ruin of this world, out of sinners. And they have to be raised up spiritually, through the Spirit. And then he said to Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, art thou a king then? To this end came I into the world. In Psalm, in the early Psalms it says, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, he was to be a king. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A kingdom. And it will be a kingdom that rules and reigns in righteousness. But then also, Jesus said this to Pilate, if I can just turn to it. Pilate asked him of these things, and oh, the truth and the blessing and the witness that Jesus gave, confirming the work that he came to do. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. The truth of all that his heavenly Father spake concerning him through the prophecies. All the truth that his heavenly Father gave to the Old Testament saints in respect of that true worship of God, the types and the shadows, and the ceremonial law and ordinances. Jesus gave witness to the truth, to the sacrifices, to the priesthood. Jesus came and bore testimony to the truth. He came and bore testimony to the truth that Moses spake that he should raise up a prophet amongst them, one out from among the brethren. Like me, he said, him shall ye hearken. The prophet came. Jesus came and preached the gospel. And those gracious souls that heard him received his word and were blessed by him. They received the witness of the truth. All the miracles that he did bore witness and testimony to the truth. And then, dear friends, let us come to the blessedness of this word. He came and fulfilled Isaiah 53. And we've been singing of that this evening. Wonderful truth, dear friends. Did it move thy heart to him when we sang that first hymn? Were you drawn to him? Did you want to know something about him? Did you want a little interest in him? Had you got a little concern in your soul in respect of a need of him? Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. And you know, his heavenly Father loved him. Oh, he says, my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And another place confirming that truth, in that Jesus was that one whom his heavenly Father sent, and who his heavenly Father truly loved him. He was most precious to his heavenly Father because he came and bore witness to everything that his heavenly Father gave him to do in perfection. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is my dearly beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before time and in the covenant of grace, God gave each and every one whom he loved to Jesus, that he should come and save them from their sins and iniquities. I am the way, the truth, and the life. None cometh unto me, none cometh unto the Father but by me. And see the blessedness of Isaiah 53. I don't know how often you read your Bible, dear friends, but Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the most blessed portions of Scripture. And how Jesus came, and in the exactness of the words in that Isaiah 53, Jesus came and fulfilled in perfection. And Jesus, not only, let us just briefly consider Gethsemane. Gethsemane belongs to That first hymn that we sang together, Jesus knew there in the garden of Gethsemane. He knew everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. Dear friends, let us have a concern about this. Did Jesus sweat, as it were, those great drops of blood for thy soul in a personal way? Personal? Everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him, Jesus sweat, as it were, those great drops of blood. Those drops of blood poured out of him, dear friends. This pure, this holy man is going to bear away the sins of everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. Did he sweat those great drops of blood for thy soul, dear friends? Well, this truth, he went forth to the cross. And this is the witness that Jesus gave upon the cross at Calvary. A witness to his heavenly Father that it was that faithful one that came and fulfilled all that his heavenly Father gave him to do. A faithful witness. And his heavenly Father bore testimony to that witness. He said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Dear friends, in Jesus making that offering for sin, he saw his seed. Which seed? Why, dear friends, the fruits of his sufferings and death that should be gathered to him through the gospel in each and every generation of time afterwards. He saw his seed after him. He saw that the church was safe, that they were redeemed unto God the Father. And then this truth, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Dear friends, his heavenly Father witnessed there the sufferings and death of his dearly beloved Son, and he saw how safe and secure the church were in that offering and that sacrifice. And he gave up the ghost, crying, "It is finished." The church was saved, redeemed. Now we know that there must then be an experience in respect of everyone whom Jesus laid down his life for at Calvary. And it will come to pass to each and every one whom his heavenly Father gave to him, the election of grace. We have to speak of election, dear friends. He did come to seek and to save a lost and a ruined world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish or should not be lost, but have everlasting life. And this is the witness of Jesus, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me will in no wise cast out. Now the Lord will come. This is the blessing of the middle part of our text. My servant whom I have chosen. Now then, dear friends, let us look at it in this light now. Are we seeking to be God's witness? It is the Holy Spirit. The work and operation and power of the Holy Spirit to show to us and to teach us our need of Jesus, to show to us our sins, to show to us our lost and ruined state by nature, to show to us the deceitful and desperate heart that we have by nature, to show to us all our vileness. Sometimes we might think, well, I don't feel these things within me. Yes, I went on many a year like that, dear friends, until the Spirit of the Lord came and convinced me of it. And the Lord will teach each and every one by and through His Spirit. The Spirit itself, dear friends, will bear witness with our spirit in respect of that call by grace. I was just trying to think of a word. I believe it's in Ephesians, if it's on my mind. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is the seal and the witness that we want, dear friends. If the Lord has shown to you the solemn truth of your sins, He will bless you with the grace of repentance, and He will bless you with that faith that will lead you directly to Christ. And this is the gospel that is preached today, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It is preached today, dear friends. Have we got some witness in our poor souls that Jesus came and died for us to put away our sins? This is the blessing of the gospel. It is that free love and grace to sinners. And there's nothing for the sinner to do. Jesus came and has done all. If the Spirit of the Lord will come and show to us our sins and iniquities, immediately we'll be rendered poor and helpless and weak. That's how it brought me, dear friends. So that when I come to seek for salvation, I came with nothing in my hands but my wicked and sinful and deceitful heart. Nothing of the creature, nothing of self. Such, dear friends, will be that sin, how it will affect us and bring us to nothing. So that Christ shall have all the glory. Dear friends, it would be an offence to supplement salvation. Just read that first hymn again, dear friends. See what Jesus passed through. And then this truth and this blessing, the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins. And dear friends, the witness will be found in our poor souls that Christ came and suffered, bled and died for us, for our sins and iniquities, believing as the Ethiopian eunuch, what hindereth me to be baptized? Philip said that he may be baptized if you believe with all your heart. I believe. It's faith, dear friends, that same faith that Abel had, and he looked forward to Christ. as his Saviour and his Redeemer, him that should come, then, dear friends, our faith looks back in exactly the same way, that time when Jesus laid down his life for his people. What a mercy to be brought there. When we have known and understood the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins, it's just faith in the precious blood that Jesus shed, faith in his finished work. If we are drawn to the cross, there we are, dear friends, brought there by the Spirit and the power of God. And it is there, dear friends, like unto Joshua, that we shall be brought to that place, brought, dear friends, to lay the whole stress of our salvation upon Jesus. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, witnesses of his great salvation, witnesses of his great love to thy soul, witnesses that Jesus came and undertook all for thee, witnesses, as we have read a little later in our reading, he has blotted out all our sins, witnesses that our sins have gone as if we never sinned, witnesses, dear friends, of this truth, that we can now joy and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Ye are my witnesses. The Ethiopian eunuch passed through the waters of baptism, a living witness and a testimony of the sufferings and death of Jesus. That is what passing through baptism is. A testimony of Jesus washing away all thy sins. That is the witness. And so this is the blessing. All thy sins are washed away. And what a mercy it is. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. What is the further witness to this, that ye may know and believe me? Just on this point, dear friends, it's our adoption unto God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Wonderful truth, dear friends. Jesus came to redeem us unto God the Father, and that we now are found in the family of God's grace. We belong to God. We are his children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Oh, wonderful truth, adoption. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And we have that believing faith. Adoption's work. And what a mercy then, dear friends, is this. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Just want to bring before you one or two thoughts in respect of ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. You know, when poor John Warburton, I just saw his picture in the vestry there, poor John Warburton, he came before the Lord on so many occasions. He had so many needs and so many wants. One time he only had a crust of bread, as it were, on the pantry shelf. Another time he was so much in debt, he had no money and he was threatened with further action one time and another. Do you know, the Lord appeared to him every time, didn't he? Why, dear friend? He came to the throne of grace. Ye are my witnesses. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ye are my witnesses. Did his God let him down? No. What could John Warburton testify to? Read his book. He testified to this. Ye are my witnesses. Oh, he testified to the faithfulness and to the goodness of his God. And he said this on one or two occasions. Ye are my witnesses. And he was a witness. He was a witness of God's goodness and God's mercy and providence in coming to him. Well, what do we know about this, dear friends? Have we committed our cause and our interests to our God? Have we come to him, dear friends, with some great difficulty? Something, perhaps, dear friends, that has come into our lives we cannot understand, but something that needs to be dealt with? And have we come to the Lord? Have we come to the throne of grace? They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, he said. David was a witness to the Lord God at the throne of grace. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. He was a witness. Are we witnesses, dear friends? Ye are my witnesses. Is he a God, dear friends, that is silent? No. Oh, what a mercy it is to take hold of him, to call upon him, and to seek him for all our needs and all our concerns. Has he is a God of providence, dear friends. Has he ever let thee down? Has he failed in a promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No, ye are my witnesses. You see, he is faithful, he is true. He won't let his people down. He loves them. So where are we, dear friends? Have we committed our course to him? What about thy never dying immortal soul? Has he begun that good work? Well, if he has, dear friends, he will perform it. He will not leave off from it. And this should be an encouragement to thy soul, to seek after him still. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. What a mercy it is to be a witness of our God, that he is faithful, that he is true, that he is the living God, and that he is the God that loves thee, the God that sent his dearly beloved Son on thy part, who spared not his own Son. Can we see here? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. No, he will never let his people down. He didn't let David down. David came into some straits and difficulties, didn't he? What are yours today, this evening? Well, dear friends, the throne of grace is open to all those who stand in need of him. And he wants thee to come. He wants thee to commit thy all to him, to depend and to trust in him alone. For there is no God like unto him. No, he sent his dearly beloved Son to purchase thee by his precious blood, so that he could own thee and bless thee. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And what about those times? I speak of times and seasons that I've known and understood, and probably what you've known and understood. But have we fallen into times of sickness and times of disease? Did we come to the Lord about it? Were we able to look up, dear friends, in that time of sickness? What did we prove? He came to us, didn't he? He had mercy. I think of that word in Philippians in respect of Epaphroditus. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. And for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Dear friends, have we passed through sickness and disease? What does it follow with? But God had mercy on him. Did the Lord recover us? Did the Lord restore us? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Ye are my witnesses of my mercy, that I came to thee. Oh, dear friends, what a God we have. Is there any like unto him who cares so much for his people? There is none like unto him. Oh, what a mercy it is to prove it day by day. And then, dear friends, he is a God to his people, that he loves them so much, that he will rebuke and chasten them because he loves them, as a father chasteneth his son. And Peter understood this chastening. Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Where would Peter be without that prayer of the Lord Jesus? You know, the Lord Jesus did love him. But Peter had to be brought away from his self-confidence, from his boldness, from his old nature. Friends, the old nature works opposite to the new man of grace. Yes. And the Lord showed him. And he brought Peter to nothing. Was it Mr. Caton or Mr. Catton of Liverpool last century? He said, if the Lord has brought you to pass through Satan's sieve, when you come out of it, you'll be very small. Peter was very small. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. He corrected him, chastened him, because he loved him. Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Thou knowest that I love thee, Lord. And dear friends, I have been brought to pass through Satan's sieve. Yes, it comes to the ministers of the gospel. And I was laid low and brought to nothing. I didn't know how to utter a prayer to the Lord. It was a cry, it was a groan. It wasn't in words plain. The Lord knew them. But he brought me to nothing. And it was in my mercy that I saw that I needed that correcting hand. And what did it do for me, dear friends? It brought me nearer to him. Yeah. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Now then, our time has gone, and we're journeying, each one of us. Can we each bear testimony to this truth, that ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord? Times and seasons that the Lord has met with us in his providence, under his care, or that he has changed circumstances, oh, dear friends, to fulfil his own in respect of us, yes? Oh, dear friends, we're to follow the Lord. But has he come to thee, to thy case and to thy need? Ye are my witnesses. What a mercy it is to be a witness of God, dear friends. And I close with this point. That great cloud of witnesses that Paul wrote of. Think of those. They were martyrs for his name's sake. Oh, what did they pass through, dear friends? The trouble, the trial. Awful things that they passed through. But they were witnesses to God's mercy. He gave them faith, that faith which was overcoming faith, that they should come to the end of their days in triumph and victory. It is what Jesus had given to them. And they were a great cloud of witnesses. What for? Look at it on the other side of it. As God may have appeared for us on many occasions, but he has kept us. He has given us faith. He has blessed us with all sufficient grace. He has put his fear into our hearts. Isn't that being a witness? It is, dear friends, because we cannot keep ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And that is the way that the great cloud of witnesses came through. And what was their testimony? They sought a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, dear friends, they came through. They're those blessed and glorious spirits of just men made perfect, waiting for the glorious resurrection morn. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Well, dear friends, I pray that this chapel may be full of witnesses, God's witnesses, the witnesses of his salvation, witnesses of his providence, witnesses of his grace, witnesses that he has prepared a place for thee in heaven, witnesses, oh, to have that witness and that testimony in our poor souls. And we must always think that it is Father, Son, and Spirit. There is the witness. All in union and harmony. In the salvation of the soul, and in every work that God will perform for us. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. Oh, dear friends, have we known many deliverances where the Lord has appeared for us? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted. groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Thank you.
have all the praise and the blessing. Pardon and forgive everything that's been amiss and sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Bless us each with a living witness in our souls that we are thine, that thou art ours, in ties of blood. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.